So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1.
Pastor said do a little prayer meeting thing, so I wasn't really sure if he meant like, you know, preach, or I don't really know exactly what he meant. I should have asked for clarification, but I don't know really what else to do other than preach and then do a prayer meeting thing. So we'll see how this goes today. But honestly, I do just want to, probably not going to be super long tonight. I just want to get across one point in particular about prayer. So in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to read the first 20 verses. And I really just want to get one big point across. And if we could do that tonight, then we'll be good. And it's about prayer. He said mention prayer, so that's what we're doing tonight. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. And if you're able to stand, let's stand as we honor the reading of God's word. And we'll get into this tonight. It says... Chapter 1, verse 1, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah, or I've heard Peninnah, I'm going to say Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was come that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all of her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went away and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time had come after Hannah conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. Okay, so let's pray, and we'll have you be seated, and we'll jump right in. Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the time that we have to open your word. And I just pray that you bless the effort, Lord, and just help this... truth found here in your word just to permeate to the hearts today, God, and that we would learn from it and glean from it or just be reminded of it, Father. And we're again thankful for your truths and your goodness to us. We love you and we thank you and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with this story here. And, you know, when you think of Peninnah and Hannah, and their relationship, right, and how Peninnah is one to provoke Hannah, right? Hearing this story the first few times, I remember thinking kind of like about my kids, maybe how they would provoke each other, right? I mean, I don't know about your kids. My kids do that, right? I'm sure your kids do that. Always doing something, right? You know, little things here and there. Judah, you know, all that. You just hear it all the time. It's like, goodness. But reading a passage like this, I don't want to go that route as an illustration because this isn't the kind of provoking that we're talking about here. This is like a serious deal to Hannah, the fact that she's barren and unable to have kids. especially in this day and time. Like, this is a huge deal that she can't. And not only that, but Penina is really, you say provoke, and you almost feel like there's like a pointing finger of like, ha-ha. But like, this is serious jabs. Like, this is like real cut to the heart type stuff. Like, understanding that like, in this marriage trio that's happening here, like, I have this huge competitive advantage in a sense over you, and I just want you to know that, like, all day, every day. Like, the heart of like this issue that this woman has, just like cutting to the core all the time. And it's just a really big deal. It's just a really big, hard issue for Hannah. It's not something that's easy by any means. So I hope we don't look at a passage of scripture like this and see this and say, oh yeah, she's getting picked on a little bit. It's not like a little picked on. It's a serious deal for her, and it really is cutting to the core. So much that, you know, she's crying here and she won't eat. And verse 8 says, Elkanah, her husband, says to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah gives her a worthy portion and gives her kind of like this special attention in a sense, right? To say, you know, I understand the issue that you have, but I'm showing you this compassion. I'm trying to understand, you know, why are you crying with all that I'm doing, right? And there's the constant provoking, and there's that constant longing, right, to be able to have a child, right? That's a reality for many people, right? And I can't ever understand what that's like, right? I'll never know what that's like, but I can only feel for those who have went through that and the seriousness behind it. So verse 9 says that Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And then real quick here, it says, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, saying that he was in proximity to her. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Now, I want to make a little side note here and say that there's a lot of people in this world right now that are in bitterness of soul for many reasons, because many people go through like some real hard situations in life. I mean, I'm not going to throw out the applications right now about that, but just think to yourself, maybe you're not going through something hard right now, but maybe there was something really big in your life that you're like, man, this wasn't just like a little struggle, you know, Brother Mike. This was like something really just life-shakingly hard that really at some point brought me to a spot where I had to like fall on my knees and just say, God, I have nowhere else to do, nowhere else to turn. Like, I've tried fixing this, I've tried this and that and all things, and before long you just find yourself on your knees weeping, praying to God, saying, God, what do I do in this situation? And can I say it this way? That's not peaceful. I mean, falling before God is peaceful, but it's not peaceful when you're brought to that situation, right? But one man kind of explained it this way. Peace, essentially, is just everything being in order. Everything being the way that it's supposed to be, right? If everything was the way that it was supposed to be, would there ever be any kind of chaos? Or no, you'd be peaceful because things are the way that they're supposed to be. You know, but in life, things aren't always the way that they're supposed to be, or so we think, right? This person should not be going through this sickness. This person should not be going through this heartbreak. This person should not have experienced that trauma. These things aren't right. They're not the way that things are supposed to be. And it brings us to this place of almost torment or grief or bitterness of soul, to where at some point we get a hold of God and we fall before Him and say, God, I need you. And this is where Hannah was. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. That's a good next step, right? When you're in that bitterness of soul, says she prayed to the Lord. And this is where I want to labor here for a few minutes tonight and just talk about what this means for us in prayer. Because sometimes I feel like we go through situations that are hard and we may half-heartedly come before God and say, God, I need you in this situation. But like, what about those situations in life where you really just need to get a hold of God because you're really just going through it? That's kind of what I want to focus on today. So thinking about what Hannah's going through, it says she prays unto the Lord and she wept sore. She's just really having a hard time. And what does she do? It says she vows a vow and says, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now the prayer that she prays is for a specific answer. It's that she would be able to have a child. It's like asking for the impossible. And many of you in here right now be praying for something that seems legitimately impossible. And I'm not up here saying, well, Samuel gave her a child, so it's going to same thing for you. Or, you know, if you pray and you really mean it, then God's just going to give that thing to you. That's not what I'm suggesting here, because we know that that's not how God operates. Right? That's not how he operates. Although this happened for her, that's not how God operates every time. Let's look at this little interlude here, verse 12. It says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake, it says, in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Right? So that could be quite the scene, right? If she's really just heartbroken and on her knees and wailing and praying in her heart and maybe just kind of almost making a commotion but not saying anything. I mean, it could be pretty dramatic. You know, so Eli says unto her, you know, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah, with good conscience, says, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I'm a woman who's gone through it, who's having a real hard time, like cut to the core. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. I love Psalm 62, 8 says, pour out your heart before God, right? Bring everything to him. God is a refuge for us. And essentially that's what she's doing. She's saying, I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. She's saying, listen, I don't know what to do. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't know what else to do, but then to sincerely give my everything in this prayer to God and vow a vow. And what is that vow essentially saying? It's almost like you're making a bet. God, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. But think about this for a second. What she's saying is, if you give me this man-child, I will give him back to you. So it's one thing to be like, God, I really need some money. Can you loan me a few bucks? And it's another thing to be in bitterness of soul and then pray to God and say, I'm asking for this request, but I want you to know, God, that for all the days of this child's life, he will be given to you. Like, wholeheartedly, I will give this child unto you. It's very sacrificial to say, I want this child, but the child's really not mine. But I need to see your power in my life, and I need some peace. And I'm just going through it, God. And is it guilty to ask? Is it hard to ask? I don't know. But she was in bitterness of spirit, and she knew that if she would just pray and couple that with a surrender and giving over to God, that's all she could do. That's all that Hannah could do in the situation, and that's what she says she did, what she told Eli. And here's how Eli responds. He says in verse 17, Eli answers and says this, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Go in peace. Man, I try to think of this picture. I try to picture her just wailing and crying and just pouring out everything. And Eli saying, quit drinking. What are you doing? Put the drink away from you. And she just turns to him and she's crying and she tells him what she's doing just at her rawest moment. And he just says to her, go in peace. Like, what? How do you take that? Go in peace. May everything be back in order for you. Right? May the Lord grant your petition. Now, this is where it can get a little hazy, because I don't know that I would necessarily give that advice to someone who's just really just having a hard time, and just to say, I'm also not a priest here, right? But to say, like, go in peace, and may the Lord grant your petition, almost seems a little insensitive, maybe. But what's really going on here? What is Hannah doing? Because, and let's read this next verse before I ask that question, it'll make more sense. And she said in verse 18, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So what's really happening here? Like, did Eli have some kind of special ability to say, go in peace? And then all of a sudden Hannah is like, oh, I can eat again. And my countenance is no more sad. And things are okay. And I've found peace again all of a sudden. Thank you, Eli, for these special words that you're able to speak unto me. Because if there's some kind of special word, like, I want to know what that is. There's a lot of people out there going through it. And if I could just say, almost like James, right? Be warmed and filled, right? And then all of a sudden you're just back to normal and feeling good. I'm okay. I can eat again. I'm not sad anymore. But it seems like that's what happened here. Now, here's the really important thing that we need to realize. Here's the crux in the message. I don't know if you believe me or not, but we're not going to be too much longer. I'm going to get these last two verses in here. We're going to apply it. I really want to get this across, though. Look at verse 19. It says, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife." It says, "And the Lord remembered her." She said it twice earlier. Remember me. Forget me not, right? And it says, "The Lord did not forget her. Remembered her." He remembered her. "Wherefore," in verse 20, "it came to pass, when the time was come about that Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord." Now, we could read on, we could go on, and we could see all about what Hannah did to make sure that this child was given unto God, right? That she was holding her end of the bargain in that sense. But here's the thing. Here's really what I want us to understand tonight. So if you don't get anything else, please try to get this. The peace that Hannah experienced, okay, did not happen after she conceived and bare a son named Samuel. That's not when peace came to her. Peace came to Hannah when she wept bitterly before God, made her request, but made her request with sincerity and a surrender to him. Now, there's a big difference there, because you can take your devastating problem, the thing that you're going through that is really just cut to the core, just like Hannah, I mean, the thing that has you weeping in bitterness of soul, the thing that you just can't figure out, or the thing that is just so hard, it's just eating you up day in, day out, and you can say, "God, I need you to do this thing." She said, "God, I need you to give me a son." It's almost like she's saying this, "I can't take it, I just need to have a son," like that's going to fix all of her problems. But her son did not fix all of her problems. Like, having Samuel didn't fix all of her problems. She was able to eat, and her countenance was changed before that, before she knew that was going to happen. So here's what this tells me, right? And here's what the Bible is saying here. It's saying that your solution, right, you finding peace in the midst of that affliction and all that hardship does not come with God granting your request, whatever that might be. "God, fix this problem. Heal this person. Do this thing. This is what's going to solve it." And essentially what we're saying here is this. That's not going to fix your problem. That's not going to bring peace. I mean, it sounds like it would. Man, if you just heal this, if you just do this thing, like, things would be so much better. They'd be back to normal, and there's peace. But here's the thing. God doesn't promise you that he's going to fix that person. He doesn't promise that he's going to do this thing. He doesn't make that promise to you. Somehow, we're able to have peace before getting what we think we want all the time. And sometimes I feel like when we pray, we almost think, "God, if you would just do this, then I know I'll have that peace." But here's what I'm saying. Hannah was able to have peace before Samuel arrived, because peace actually comes when you take those hard issues and you just lay them before the Savior's feet in prayer. If you just take those issues, take those things in genuine sincerity, and you give them to God with a heart of surrender, saying, "I don't just want you to heal this person, God," but in a sense, like Hannah did, you're not making a bargain, but you're saying this, "God, I'm bringing this request before you, but my heart is in the state of surrender. However you deal with this situation, I'm bringing this before you, and if it comes to pass, you're going to have glory for this thing for forever. But if it doesn't, I'm also going to give you glory for this thing." Like, there's this way we can pray to God where we can lay our requests before him, not necessarily needing him to answer it, but just understanding who he is and coming before him and understanding that God can. He's able to. He's good enough. He's holy enough. We know all these things. But we can't trick ourselves into thinking that peace comes when we ask God for things and then he, you know, snaps his finger and makes it happen. The thing that you're asking for. That thing that you're asking for may not happen, but peace doesn't come when you get that thing. Peace comes when you bring it before him with a heart of surrender, with a heart of understanding who he is. And that's a big difference, because many of us might think, "God, I really, really need you to work." Hannah said, "God, I really need to have a son. Like, it's impossible what I am asking." And in this scenario, God did just that. And we have an example of someone holding to that commitment. But God may not grant that for you. He may not answer it the way that you want it to be answered. But if you're looking for peace in the midst of affliction, or peace in the midst of really hard times that you're going through, you're not going to find it just waiting for God to answer it the way that you want it answered. You're going to find that peace when you bring that situation before him and you lay it at his feet and you pray and you just say, God, I don't know, but I'm going to pray and I'm in bitterness of soul and I'm just going to lay this here and I'm going to surrender it to you, God, and whatever the outcome, I'm just going to commit to you. And I mean it. There's sincerity there. There's like a heart that says, I really want to commit to you, God, and really mean it. Genuine, genuine prayer. There could be some real serious issues in here tonight, right? Things that we're going through. You know, you can walk in here and have a smile on your face, and we can talk and shake hands, and we can sing songs and have fun. But you're going to go home later tonight, and you're going to lay down before bed, and something's going to be on your mind. Something that's really hard that you're going through. And don't think for a moment that you've got some kind of solution, like, God, if I could just have that, you'd know things would be better. You can have peace tonight. Hold on, I'm not trying to be insensitive here. Because like I said, there's issues in here probably that I have no idea about. And I'm not trying to make it sound flippant or anything like that. But I am saying that from this Bible that we hold to, the truths here, we can see that we have a God whose compassions are over all of his works, who loves you more than anyone or anything or any you could ever imagine. And you can lay your head tonight on that pillow, or you can get on your knees and you can say, God, I know I've been praying for this answer and it's just not coming. And it's just eating me up. But God, let me like surrender this thing over to you and give this to you in prayer and say that I don't need to have that thing. I would love for that to be the case. But really, God, in bitterness of soul, I want to lay this at your feet. And I want to understand that peace comes simply in giving it to God. It's pretty simple. Harder said than done sometimes, right? When you're in the midst of it, when you're really going through it, when you're really weeping those tears, when you've got someone constantly provoking you, someone just constantly getting at the heart of the issue, you've got this problem that just won't go away, and it's just hard, and it's just so hard, and you're like, I have no one to go to. My husband, my wife, I just feel so lost. I feel so alone. It's just such a hard situation. And before long, you're crying, and you don't know what to do, and you're weeping. In that moment, do what Hannah did and pray. Bring it to God. You don't have to live in constant stress and fear and anxiety and worry. That's not the plan that God has for your life. Not when you can bring your requests before him. It's a missed opportunity. You're missing out. You're wasting time assuming that you can't have peace because you have a really, really, really difficult situation. But that's when we really have to grasp and understand who our God is. We serve a loving, wonderful, good God. And I've seen him do some amazing things in my life. And I hear stories about amazing things he's done in lives, even in my short time of being here, of some of you in here who have family members that have gone through some real hardships. And I've been on the receiving end of hearing these stories and hearing how God has worked in a wonderful way when his people simply bring their requests before him. What a wonderful thing that is. And I know that God's not done doing that. I would love nothing more than to get up here and say, if you just pray, God's going to fix that problem. He's going to make it happen. He's going to heal that person. He's going to do that thing, whatever it might be, that situation. He's just going to fix it in the way that you want and hope for and things. But that's not it. I don't know. We pray in faith that God would do all these things, right? But we don't know. But here's the thing. There's no better place than leaving it before the Heavenly Father. There's no better place than leaving it there. Can't you have peace knowing that God knows and cares and has it? I mean, seriously, imagine our God and all of his love and his child bringing up this request in bitterness of soul. What kind of God would we serve if he just said, I don't care about that, and turned his back? But he doesn't do that. He lovingly looks at your situation almost like you would at your child, and he may stoop down and say, listen, I know what you want, but you don't understand. Here's why I can't do this thing the way that you're expecting. But here's what I can do. I can give you my peace, and I can love you, and I can be there, and I'm never going to leave you. And as a child who might be thinking, but it doesn't make sense because it's still there and it's not happening, and give it to God and trust him. That peace will not come when God just says, all right, fine, I'll give you the thing that you want. No. It comes with an understanding of who our God is. That he's so good and so loving, and that he is seeing that scenario. He is seeing Peninnah provoke Hannah. He is seeing the bitterness of soul. He sees and he cares. That's really what we have to grasp tonight. When it comes to prayer, big and small, but in particular here, when you're having that real hardship, that real difficulty, that real affliction in your life, it'd be very wise of us to take heed to what Hannah did here, this structure here. Take that bitterness of soul, bring it to God, and just see what He does. See what kind of peace He offers you. And you know, some of you in here, I know you're looking at me and you may be thinking, I've experienced that peace in some real hard times. I've experienced that peace. And I have too, in a lot of ways. But I can only imagine, for some of you in here, you've had it a lot harder, or in your years, right? You've seen a lot more than I have, and you'd be willing to say, man, I've experienced that peace, and it is wonderful. It's a wonderful peace. It's a peace that inspired many of our hymns, right? A peace that passes all understanding. It's wonderful. Don't miss out on the peace that God can give you because you're assuming it comes with an answer, when really it just comes with surrender. Really, it just comes with giving it to Him and leaving it there. And then just knowing that He's in control. We're going to wrap up here and have a quick word of prayer and a quick time of invitation, but I just really want to emphasize tonight, if anything else, I just want to emphasize that your God loves you so much, and He cares about the situations that you're going through. It's easy to forget that sometimes when we're really going through it. How could God care when this is happening? Or how could He care to the extent that the Bible says that He does? That's where our faith comes in, friends. Believe Him. Trust Him. Just like you would trust your parents or tell my kids, right? Trust me. They don't know what's going on, right? How much more our Heavenly Father? Just trust that He loves and cares for you, and He wants what's best for you. He wants what's best for your family in all of those scenarios. But we've got to learn to give these things over to Him without expectation. I'll surrender this to you, God. I'll give this to you. I'll lay it before your feet. I don't need that answer for that peace. But I want to grow in my knowledge of you, in my relationship with you. It's a pretty wonderful thing. Let's bow our heads and have a quick word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this evening that you've given us, and thank you for the time. God, it's just wonderful, Lord, and just thinking about your word and just thinking about the situation here with Hannah and all that she's going through. And I don't know how to illustrate, God, just the depth and extremeness, Lord, of just all that she's going through, Lord, to pour out her soul before you, God, and to find peace in that moment and with Eli, God, just reassuring that to her. At the end of the day, Lord, she found that peace, Lord, and then, you know, you answered in a particular way, and that's not a promise to us, God. But what we can do is we can surrender these things to you and give them over to you, God. So whatever the prayer requests are here tonight, whatever wasn't mentioned during the prayer requests, whatever those things may be, you're a good God. You're a loving God, a compassionate God. Forgive us, Lord. Help us when we don't trust you. Help us to believe you and help our unbelief. Lord, as we have a verse or two here of invitation tonight, God, just help us just to trust in your love and your goodness to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll just sit and have a quick verse of invitation. Just take some time. Maybe bow your head there, whatever you need to do. And we'll go from there.